Hey, this is Todd and Julie Mullen, senior pastors here at Christ Fellowship Church in South Florida.
Whether you're across the street or across the world, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy week to join for this message.
We hope that it encourages you and inspires you to get more out of life.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we've been in a series about these red letters and this red letter invitation. And we think about red letters, like what are the red letters in my Bible? Those are the words that come from Jesus. How many of those are good words? Like if Jesus has given us words, those are good words. And this red letter invitation, and I love the name of this series because this invitation is not an invitation to ignore. This invitation requires a response from each and every one of us. Not just the church people, not just the short people, not just the tall people. Come on, not just the people who was in a club last night. Right? This invitation is required for all of us to respond. And I believe that God has given me a word today. But before we get in there, you know, they sent me the background and it was red letters. So I decided to wear my red J's. Come on, somebody. So if you got on, somebody like, what are J's? Jordans. Greatest basketball player of all time. If you're a LeBron fan, get behind me, Satan. Jordan, come fly with me. Come on, you can't be, you know, he was a movie character like Jordan, y'all. Come on, Jordan is real. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Red letter. All right, and today I get to talk a message that is so I'm excited about. I had a lot of fun, at the last service, but I'm excited about this service, and I believe God has something for you. And so the title of today's message is Testimony Service. Testimony service. And I want to start by reading two powerful passages of scripture. We're going to pick through John chapter 4. But here it is John chapter 4, verse 39 through 40. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, that's Jesus, because of the word of the woman who testified. This woman testified and she said, he told me all that I had ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Why did he stay there for 2 days? Because of this woman's testimony. Why did these people come see what was going on? Because of this woman's testimony. How many of y'all know that there's power in testimony? In Revelation chapter 12, we preach this scripture often, and for the last couple weeks, I've been picking this boy apart, and it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Jesus has come. And the accuser, Satan, of the brethren was accused before them. And I love this. He's been cast down. How was he cast down? By a testimony. How was he defeated? By a testimony. What is he scared of? Your testimony. Why does he fight you so much in shame? Because of your testimony. Can I encourage you already? The enemy doesn't fight who he doesn't fear. And the fact that you feel opposition is just an indication that God has more in store for you, that God's not through with you, that God has a story inside of your heart. How many of you would say, I got a testimony. I got a story of God's goodness. Come on, raise your hand. Let me see you, all right? At Jupiter online, you know, a little emoji, a little hand emoji. Testimony, man. Your testimony is the power. It's resurrection power of what God has inside of you. And some of us have been through some stuff that we can say, man, if it had not been for God, I don't know where I would be. Does anyone have that testimony? Come on. Some of you are like, man, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. God's not finished with me yet. Some of y'all are waiting for a testimony. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. I grew up in an old school church, y'all. I'm talking about old school church. Like, we clapped on the 2 and the 4. Church service was about 10 hours. Come on, somebody. It'd take like 6 offerings. Come on, it was old school church, right? Like the pastor would say he's ending his message. I was like, no, that's the first intermission. We got 4 more coming. But in the church I grew up in, we had testimony service. In testimony service, you know, I used to think, is that when the pastor was too busy to study during the week? So what they would do is they would take a mic and they would pass it around the entire church. Come on, somebody. And everybody would stand up and give a testimony. It would kind of start out like this. First, giving honor to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, who is the Lord and Savior of my life. And then old mama would get the microphone. She goes, but I gotta testify. And then she starts saying, y'all, I came to tell you that God has done amazing things in my life. When I look back over my life, oh, I can't help it but thank Jesus. And they would start to testify about his glory and his grace. And they would say, can I get a witness? And the whole church would say, glory. And church would be about 10 hours. And I would like, do y'all talk like this at work? We had a testimony service. Any of y'all ever had a testimony service? Maybe you ain't, y'all's is different. I would like to give God glory and honor. Different kind of church. Come on, somebody. Different kind of church. Different kind of church. Same power. Just neat. Neat church. Come on, somebody. Out in an hour. That's the kind of church I love. Out in an hour. Songs are short. Come on. Just, all right, let me get on with this message. Testimony service. You know, I was growing up, I would hear all these testimonies inside the four walls of the church. In other words, we are giving our testimony to people who already experienced a testimony and may are getting encouraged and they're getting excited, but they already saved. They already know about grace. They already know about mercy. And I was like, is our testimony for the people inside the church? Is this service supposed to be about a start and a stop? Is this all that this testimony was for? If this testimony has power, if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus did, and the word of our testimony, that's when we talk about what Jesus did, then we need to talk about somebody or talk to somebody who needs to overcome. And so what I landed on is this idea that testimony service is not a church service. Testimony service is when we serve those who are lost, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our lives to people who have not received it yet. Come on, somebody. So when I'm at work, I gotta testify. When I'm in the mall, we having a testimony service. When I'm at Chick-fil-A, after I eat that, come on, break off that 12-piece nugget. We testify. Well, how do we testify? We don't have a B3 organ. How do we testify? There's no microphone. When you testify, you are a witness and you are attesting to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And it's not about what you say, it's how you live. Oh, I feel Jesus. Come on, Jupiter, even y'all. Y'all gotta testify. I know you got the beach, but testify. We gotta testify. We gotta talk about the goodness of Jesus in our lives to our coworkers, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to the people that we don't like. We gotta have this mentality that church doesn't start when service starts. Church starts when service is over. I don't just go to the church, I am the church. The testimony is not for the four walls of this building, it's for the four corners of this earth. And I'm gonna declare the goodness of God, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost and now I'm found. I once was blind and now I see. I got a testimony. You got a testimony. You got some stuff you got over. There's a diagnosis. Somebody got healed. Somebody got delivered. Somebody got set free. And it's time to have a testimony, to put our testimony not in a church service, but to put our testimony in service so we don't have out of order on grace and out of order. Come on, somebody. And I'm only off. I only talk about Jesus on Sundays. Come on, somebody. This ain't Chick-fil-A. Come on, Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. Matter of fact, I got a gift for all of y'all. Today only. You know, Pastor Dave, today only, he is paying for your entire family to go to Chick-fil-A. Come on, order everything you want. It's on Pastor Dave and Rhonda today only. Somebody's like, yes, I love this church. It's closed. It's closed. That's not a real thing. It's crazy to me how Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. The church is open on Sunday, but Chick-fil-A is open Monday through Saturday. But sometimes the church is closed Monday through Saturday. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us. How many people are we winning to Jesus? How many people are we inviting and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you right now, this Easter is gonna be different. Yeah, I want you to just start thinking about the person, though, the people that you're going to invite to Easter right now, because you're going to bring them, and what you're doing is you're testifying. Let me tell you, how many of y'all were like really good sinners before you got saved? Come on. Like, where y'all at? Up in the balcony. I know it's y'all. Come on, somebody. I know. You're like, I don't even want to get that close. You know what I'm saying? Like, really good sin. Like, I was a professional sinner. Like, have you ever had history that you sinned so bad that somebody was like, you got saved? Where y'all at? Like, you read your Bible? I didn't even know you could read. You never went to school in college. You got married? Come on, somebody. Y'all know those people. You go to church? You was in the club? You was just coming home at 5 a.m. You? What is that? That's attraction. That's exactly the way that God set this thing up. He set this thing up so that lost people will look at you and be like, oh my gosh. And you says, listen, there's a man from Galilee. I know that you haven't met him yet, but look what the Lord has done. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you too. So when we look at this passage of scripture, I can see as I read this and I've preached this probably 1,000 times over the last 25 years in different applications, but this is the first time I preach on a testimony. This woman put her testimony in service, not in a church service. She put it in service to people who would never experience Jesus unless she did. And when we look at the context of this passage of scripture in John chapter 4, we can see that this woman is a Samaritan and Jesus is a Jew. Now, just to give you some context, Samaritan and Jews did not do life together. And I could go and give you a deep theological, you know, breakdown of this, but they just didn't like each other. Let's just stay there. They had different ways of doing ministry. They had different ways of perceiving who God is. That their cultures were different. And so the Jews kind of thought that they were better than the Samaritans. And as this happened, if you read, and I want you to go back and read this chapter this week, you will see that there's this tension going on. And, you know, they become those people. And it says, you Jews do it this way. And you Samaritans do it this way. And you worship this way. And you worship that way. And when I was reading this, I could see churched people and unchurched people going back and forth of you guys are too religious and it don't take all of that. And this charge, and sometimes as Christians, we can be so concerned about what we're against that lost people don't know what we're for. And what it does is it ruins the witness. It ruins the testimony. And Jesus, in this passage of scripture, he has to leave Judea because the Pharisees are starting to get a little agitated at the miracles that Jesus is performing, and people are getting healed and people are getting set free. And so Jesus is tired from ministry and he's gonna go to a well. And this well, it's actually called Jacob's Well. He bumps into a Samaritan woman, a woman who's been outcast from her own people. She's discouraged. She's broken. She's lost. Maybe she's dealing with anxiety. Man, let me just tell you, like, isn't it? It's real right now in culture that people's issues are coming to the surface. Man, we lived in a jacked up culture. People are struggling in sin, and people are struggling in divorce, and people are struggling in extramarital affairs, and people are struggling with their identity. And here's what I wonder. I wonder if you are the well at work that God sent them to be ministered to. I wonder if you are the well. I wonder at the mall, and when you're walking in the mall and you see some young people that are acting outside of their purpose and destiny, rather than judge them, I wonder if you're supposed to pull up next to them and be the well. Amen. I wonder if that family member that you can't stand, how many of y'all can't stand a family member? Just don't raise your hand if you're sitting next to them. But you got... Man, that's what Jesus is doing. And I realize that Jesus turned this encounter into a testimony service. So how do we service the lost with our testimony? How do we reach people that have not been reached yet? How do we invite people to Easter? How do we say, come see what God's doing in this house? I'm glad you asked me. Number one, we must go the way that Jesus went. We must go the way that Jesus went. Can you put that passage of scripture up there? Because this is important for us to really understand. In John chapter 4, when it says here in John 4, 3 and 4, it says, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And then it's critical. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Had to. No, he really didn't. You see, because of this difference of lifestyle, the Jews would go about, some theologians say about 70 miles out of their way to go around Samaria, to avoid the Samaritan people because they didn't want to intermix with Samaritans. And so they would go around Samaria to get to church. Come on, somebody. They would go around Samaria to get to God. They would go around Samaria. And Jesus says, y'all been doing this all wrong. There's some issues in society that we can't just keep going around. There's some things that we're gonna have to go through. There's some things we're gonna have to minister to. There's some things that we're gonna have to put on. Come on, somebody. The kingdom of God and be the tangible hands and feet of Jesus to a people who need an invitation to drink from the well that we've been drinking from. He had to go through. He has to go through. Even though they don't coexist, and I didn't say this at the last service, but I thought about this. Like, if you want to change Samaritans, you're going to have to do life with a Samaritan woman. Uh-oh. See, some of us, we have that opinion about them and those people, but we too holy to reach them. It's real. I love the fact that at the end of this passage of scripture, Samaria is reached for Jesus. How? Jesus empowered a Samaritan to do that. He had to relate, and he says, I have to go through Samaria because we've been avoiding this too long, y'all. I love my kids sometimes. Any of y'all like me? Come on, like I love them sometimes. When they doing good, they my kids. When they not, they Irene's kids. Girl, get your children. We say chim, get your chim. And when I was, you know, when they were younger, we lived in Maryland and we had this theme park called Busch Gardens. And Busch Gardens had this thing called the Wild Wave, because it used to be called Wild World. And it was like a wave, you know, pool, and you would get a board. And you know, and I told Jeremy's the one who was up here singing with all his muscles. Y'all see him? I trust in God, my Savior. He was on the edge of the stage. I would have fell off because I'm top heavy. He keep inviting me to the beach. He invited me back there you want to go surfing. I don't surf. Stop inviting me. I'm never coming. Ever, because you didn't invite me to the water, you invited me to the beach. That's two different things. The beach has sand, surfing is the shark's home. Never going there, ever. You know, what does that have to do with your message? Nothing, just wanna get something off my chest. So take my kids to Busch Gardens, and And they get excited and they're packing and we're going to Busch Gardens. And my kids, they would sing a song. We going to Busch Gardens. This is excited day. We going to Busch Gardens. Like every time, like they packing, they get in the car. We on our way to Busch Gardens and it's taking longer. Y'all have one of your kids like, you know, are we there yet? I'm like, no, we're not there yet. They're like, where are we going? Doesn't look like we're going in the direction of Busch Gardens. And I was like, we got to stop and pick up your cousins. What they didn't know is I, as their father, had already invited their cousins. And now they have to take a detour. And now, you know, they're just concerned about the cotton candy they gonna eat. I really wanted to be concerned about the turkey wing. Y'all ever had that turkey, smoked turkey leg? And my God in heaven, it's good. But my kids were so excited. And I was like, no, we got to stop and pick up your cousins on the way. And they start saying, we don't want them to come because they're going to have less. You know what I'm saying? Like they know daddy ain't have much money. So we're not going to be able to eat. Now, I packed sandwiches. I got some aluminum foil. Y'all don't judge me. All right? And I'm like, no, daddy has promised some other people invitations that you may not know about. That we're gonna have to go out of our way to stop and pick some people up that also wanna be in the wild wave. I came to tell you this morning, Christ Fellowship, that your Father God has promised some other people invitations to heaven, but he wants you to go out of your way and pick up some people on your way to heaven. It ain't just about us. We gotta go out of our way. We got to go out of our way at work. We got to go out of our way in our neighborhoods. We got to go out of our way at Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner and stop avoiding people that sin differently than us. Number two, what I have to do, Pastor Dave, to be a testimony service. Number two is we must have the well that Jesus had. He meets this woman at a well. John 4, 5, and 7 says, eventually he came to Samaria of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and she said to Jesus, Jesus said to her, can I have a drink? Oh, this hits me hard. This evangelistic side of me, I got this outreach heart that, man, people just don't know their purpose, man. We gotta take this gospel message outside the four walls of the church. We are not a church on a block. We are a city on a hill. I'm not gonna be, I gotta reach people that don't look like me. I gotta share the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and I ask myself as I study this message, am I a well? Am I a well of grace? Am I a well of forgiveness? Am I a well of an invitation to church at Easter? It's not just about coming with me to church. It's about coming back to see the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life, he can do in your life too. And you have to ask yourself, and I want every single person to ask yourself some questions. Am I a well? I prayed this prayer earlier, but before I preached this morning, when I was in the gym, I said, God, help my container to have the compassion that yours did. In John 4, 11 and 12, she says, sir, you don't have a rope. You don't have a bucket. But before we get there, guys, think about this. Isn't it amazing that Jesus asked her for something, showing her that she still had value? I don't know who I'm talking to, but maybe this message needs to take a little bit of a detour. There's somebody in here, you're new to this church thing. You haven't been here long, and life has been difficult and dealt you some bad hands, and you're like, man, I don't even know if I have value. I pray today that you feel the Holy Spirit ask you for a drink. You still have value. What Jesus did is he dignified somebody who didn't feel dignity. I love in some of my most depressed seasons, this last season has just been difficult, and Irene dealing with some health concerns, and I asked Jesus this morning, Jesus asked me this morning, Can I have a drink today? Can you worship me today? Can you preach with power and conviction today? I love how Jesus asked her for a drink, and then they start to have this exchange, and Jesus became a well. They had a conversation. Started talking about her history. Started talking about her past relationships. Man, he didn't try to solve it in the moment. He just brought her to the well. And let me tell you something at Easter. You know what this place is? Every campus, every service, it's a well. And sometimes we don't need to give a whole lot of words. We just need to bring them to the well and watch the Holy Spirit have capacity to love them and capacity to embrace them and capacity. This woman responds right here in this passage of scripture and says, you don't have a rope or a bucket. I looked at that and I was like, man, that rope, she goes, this well is deep. I feel lost people saying, Pastor Dave, the pain is deep, man. You don't know what I went through or I've been through when I was a child. You don't know the hurt or the abuse that I've experienced. You don't know how many times I've been betrayed. You don't know how many times I've trusted people and I felt stabbed in my back and God sent you to their cubicle. God sends you and he ordained you to move next to them. And he's waiting for the well to wake up that says, I got a rope long enough. I'm gonna hang around. I'm gonna be committed to your pain. I'm gonna come to my small group. I want you to get involved. I want you to come. And then she says, you don't have a bucket. When I looked at the bucket, I thought about the capacity in my heart to love people's humanity. I've been praying that God help me make more room for lost people. God help me make more room for people that don't look like me, think like me, vote like me, act like me. The Bible says, I love this, how Jesus looked at crowds. It says in Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion, not an opinion. He had compassion, not a judgment. And I find myself at times judging people that God sent me to testify to. Come on, somebody. I was hitting golf balls last week, and this dude made me mad last week. Can I just keep it 100 real quick? I wanted to smack somebody in Jupiter. I'm just telling you right now, Jupiter. I hope it wasn't you, if you're there. But their spirit was agitating me, and I'm like, why are you judging? Like, and I felt the Lord say, be kind. You ever get mad at the Holy Spirit, but like, yeah, don't talk to me right now. Just, I don't want to hear that right now. I want to throw hands, not lay them. Come on, somebody. He says, no, you're a well. You got to have compassion. You got to have empathy. Let me tell you what compassion is. It's putting the hurts of others in your heart until they're healed. It says when Jesus looked at the crowds, he had compassion on them, and then he saw them after their dysfunction. He didn't judge them. He says, oh man, their life has been a little jacked up. I need to have compassion. And then he says, they're sheep without a shepherd. Let me tell y'all something. There's more than just Pastor Todd and Pastor Julie, Pastor Jimmy and Irene, Pastor Dave, Pastor Rhonda. You are a pastor. You pastor in your seat. You got to walk up and work tomorrow like, hey y'all, what's up? I'm your pastor. Today we have in church. Come on, somebody. Don't do that, you might get fired, but just walk up in there with an attitude like we don't pastor a church, we pastor a city. Come on, somebody. And we're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And y'all supposed to be clapping right now because I have it right now in my notes. Right here, they're gonna get excited. It's crazy how Jesus uses the well within us to heal the wounds around us. Let me say that again. Jesus uses the well within us to heal the wounds around us. God, I pray that you enlarge my bucket and you help me hang around. Give me a long rope, God, to hang around long enough so that they can trust me and see my story. The last thought I want to give you is how to be this testimony service. It's not only we must go the way Jesus went. We must have the well that Jesus had. Here's the last thought. We must be the witness that Jesus was. God, help me be the witness that Jesus was. What is crazy about this story? Jesus and this woman have this conversation that they're going, and she's like, oh my God, you must be a prophet. Oh my God, you didn't judge me. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And what he does is he puts to sleep pain and wakes up purpose. I love that. And in John 4, 28 and 30 says this, the woman after this encounter with Jesus left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village and says, y'all, come on, can y'all go with me just real quick? Can I say it like I'm in Baltimore? Y'all, come see a man that told me everything. Come see this man who didn't judge me. Come see this man who looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Come see this man who I heard that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Y'all, black people getting saved, white people getting saved. Come on, somebody, tall people getting saved. Let's spend this. Come see what God is doing at Christ Fellowship. Now, if you, has God done anything in your life, you get a little bit excited right here. Has this church blessed you? Has this church helped you find your purpose? Has anyone's marriage been healed? Has anyone's kids? Come on, somebody. Kids, you? What? I wish I had kids, you. Come see. Y'all, like, he's excited today. You know why I'm fired up? I'm fired up because, as Pastor Ryan preached, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. You know, when you say come see, what you're saying is we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That word, Greek, testimony, the Greek means do it again. What I'm saying is when you tell your story, the anointing comes for God to do it again. I have discovered in my life that my greatest misery, God wanted to turn into ministry. And this Easter, what are we gonna do as a church? We got these red cards, and you guys got given one of these? Everybody got one of these on your way in? Some of y'all are like, what is this? Well, if you don't do what I'm about to do, just go with me because you'll help us be good stewards. We ain't wanna buy all these cards and you just throw them in the trash. No. This, it represents an invitation. This is telling someone to come see. This, let me tell you, when this woman said come see, people started coming and experiencing Jesus who weren't even there. Come see a man who told me everything. This Easter, what we want you to do, can y'all take out your card? I want you to start thinking about somebody's name. Somebody who's lost. Somebody who's broken. Come on, Jupiter. Somebody who's struggling in anxiety, maybe struggling in addiction. Somebody who betrayed you, and you're gonna write their name down, and you're gonna pray until God gives you the opportunity to invite them. I want you to pray prayers like this. God, I pray that their destiny and their purpose come alive in Christ. Father, I pray that this Easter that you change the trajectory of eternity in their family. God, I pray for generational blessings. God, I know they did me wrong. But God, just as I forgave them, will you introduce them to your son, Jesus Christ, so he can forgive them? Come see. That's a testimony. That's what God is doing. He's saying, do it again. I'm telling you right now, this witness is powerful. I want y'all to do something with me. Can you stand with me? Can you stand with me at Jupiter? If you're online and driving, don't stand. It's weird. I want you to put your arm out like this. Come on, just go with me. Stop in the name. No, I'm not doing that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. Can y'all put that scripture up there? Samaria, there it is. And the utter ends of the earth. In another translation, it says uttermost. I want you to know that between your head and your hand is your comfort zone. That word uttermost in the Greek is a word called eschatos, and it means time, space, and rank. That witness, that testimony, it's not for your comfort zone. It's not between your head and your hand. It's on the other side. It's in Samaria. It's in the uttermost. So that word, eschatos in the Greek, and some of y'all are like, yeah, my arm's tired. Yep. It's hard to reach lost people. Take strength you didn't know you had and share your story. Just keep it up there. I did about 90 push-ups this morning, so y'all good. God, help me to reach my uttermost. That word uttermost, it breaks down into three meanings: time, space, and rank. God, help me to reach the people who I spend the least amount of time with. Space, God, help me reach the people that are furthest from me. And rank, help me reach the people that maybe last on my list. All right, you can put your hand down because some of y'all already did. You know what I've come to discover, guys? Great commission zones have no comfort zones. God has called us to go, Matthew 28, 18, 19, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know we serve in church, but can we serve somebody our story? I'm fired up about this Easter. I'm fired up, y'all. I've been reaching lost people. I've been on the golf course just talking to people. I've been in the barbershop just trying to reach people. I love not being the senior pastor no more like I was in Baltimore, because people just say they already had this preconceived idea. Now I show up and just, they don't know what I do. And they be like, what do you do? I was like, I'm a communicator. Sometimes you tell them a pastor, it messes up the whole thing, you know? Just like, yeah, what's up? Just let them know I'm cool, you know? I'm not, I'm old. But what I'm trying to do is have a testimony service. God, help me be a testimony service in the grocery store today. I was thinking through this message, and if I'm honest, I was a little convicted. Because I realized that sometimes doing the work of Jesus inside the four walls of the church prohibits me to work for Jesus outside the four walls of the church. I believe that this could be the greatest Easter in the history of this church. And if you want to change South Florida, let's change our direction and go the way that Jesus went. Let's pick up a few people not going to Busch Gardens, but need to make it to heaven. Can I pray for you? Father, we thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, every person online, every person in Jupiter, every person that may even watch this message later. Father, I pray that you wake up the mission of your son, Jesus Christ, on the inside of us. That we don't settle for the culture that we're in, that we change the culture that we're in. God, no longer will we be thermostat Christians, God. Or thermometer Christians, God. We're gonna be thermostat Christians, changing the temperature of everywhere we go for the kingdom of God. God, I pray that as we think about the person that we're gonna write on this card, God, I pray, God, that you would already begin to do work in their hearts. In Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen.
Thank you again for spending time with us today. If you're looking to take a step in discovering the more that God has in store for you, just text the word podcast to the number 441-441 and select the option that applies to you.
And if you enjoyed this message, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes.
A special thanks to those of you who generously give to all that God is calling us to do together. It's because of you that everything that we do is possible.
We'll see you right back here for next week's message.